Yesterday, the president and Benjamin Netanyahu, the president of Israel, released a 20-point plan, a comprehensive plan to end the Gaza conflict. Number one starts out saying the following: Gaza will be a de-radicalized, terror-free zone that does not pose a threat to its neighbors. Number two says Gaza will be redeveloped for the benefit of the people of Gaza, who have suffered more than enough. And later on in the context, it goes on to say that Gaza that Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza. We have been fortunate over the past several months, probably going on to almost a year now, to visit with Colonel Alex Gann, retired colonel and fighter pilot for the Israeli Air Force. He lives in a small village in northern Israel, and he joins us. Colonel, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening or good noon to you.
Colonel, it's so good to hear your voice again. We really appreciate you spending time with us. I would assume that this plan has been reported out in Israel. Your thoughts?
Well, of course it has. And yesterday I sat glued to the TV to watch the whole ceremony and the announcements. It's an important moment. It is really maybe the first good chance to end this. It's almost 2-year war, and most important is to get the hostages back, or whatever is remained for them. Sorry to use this expression. So we're really hopeful, and we were happy that our prime minister has signed the agreement, and now everybody is waiting for Hamas to see what they will do. And my thought is, and my guess is, they will say yes, but. And the question is what the but will be. Will they accept most of the demands? Will they reject them? Will it be something which is acceptable? I don't know. But we have our hopes up for the first time, maybe in 2 years.
You have been very honest and straightforward about your feelings about what's going on, and very critical in many cases of Israel itself, and more importantly, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Did you think that he would get to this point and agree to this? Because a lot of these provisions in this 20-point plan are really contrary to what he's been talking about, even as late as a week or 10 days ago.
Yes, I agree with you what you're saying. The only one, and I've been saying that for the last year and a half, the only one who could do that is President Trump. Because, you know, I think he's a special character, and sometimes he's unpredicted, and sometimes he can take radical movements. And he's really the only one who could put the pressure on our prime minister. And I'm happy that he came to this stage and is doing it. I don't know for what reasons he's doing it, but I think it's about time. And I think he's doing the right thing by putting the pressure on Bibi Netanyahu. And I think the outcome, if the government in Israel collapses, it's about time. We should have elections a long time ago, and especially end this war. It's unbelievable what's going on, and the country with all the international pressure which is going on Israel now. Some of it is really is out of proportion, but this is a fact. That's where we are, and it's about time it ends, and it's about time we start building our country back again. Now, what we went through for the last 2 years is unbelievable. Actually, the destruction of the value of the country, the state of Israel, not only economically wise, but also morally, is devastating. So it's about time, and we thank, it's a high thank, President Trump for that. He can get full credit from me.
Well, Colonel, you've been very honest about that as well. In fact, you predicted many, many months ago that you thought that the only person that could bring this to the forefront and bring some conclusion to this would be the pressure of the United States, and more importantly, the pressure by Donald Trump. The far right has been the impediment to a lot of the compromise that you have advocated for and others have advocated for. What has their reaction been to this 20-point plan?
The far right in Israel is divided, but the majority that you hear from, especially in the government, are the far right. I would say the religious people, and not the Orthodox religious, but the people we call the settlers, the people who will settle in the West Bank, etc., etc. And they had their dream of, occupying Gaza and resettling Gaza with Jewish people, which we haven't been there for I don't know how many thousands of years, which I think is a huge mistake. History sometimes is things that you can dream of, but history is not where you live today. And we're living today, and the Palestinians are not going any place. And we have to come and settle down with the idea that they're here. And it's very hard to see today that we have peace with them. But at least we have to have some kind of a settlement and some kind of a Pax Romana, as we used to say, some kind of an agreement with them and how we live together. The far right do not represent Israeli population. They're about, I would say, they have today not even 6 or 7% of the population. They may be loud, but we have to put them back in place.
So how would you best describe the reaction of everyone else to this plan?
Well, the majority of the people are happy with it in Israel, because people are tired already. People want to get back to a normal life, to build the economy and to build back the culture. So in Israel, it's about time. And when we look, at the world, we see what's happening even in the U.S. The rate of support for Israel is dropping dramatically, especially among the young population. And it's bad. And this attitude toward Israel is mixed in the world with anti-Semitism. And it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong or whatever, it's a fact. And this is something which should have to stop. I think that mainly the European countries are going too far with their attitude. And we hope it will change.
The irony, we're talking about trying to de-radicalize Gaza. In many respects, we have the same challenge here in the United States of de-radicalizing a certain segment of our population. When you talk to them, you've seen it, you watched it on the internet. There's a level of ignorance of the history of that area of the country and what it means. And I don't know how it got distorted, but it got distorted somewhere along the line.
No doubt about it. I saw yesterday on the internet an interview, and I think it was on the BBC. And the two people are talking about the conflict in Israel. You know, one of them is pouring a fire and at Israel, and it's terrible what's going on. And the other guy asks him, have you been to Israel? And he says, no. And he says, how can you talk and say what you're saying? You never been there. You never seen anything. He told him, you know, I have been there. I just came back. I was 3 weeks there. I went to Gaza. I talked to people. I was there 16 times. So I know what I'm talking about. How can you talk about something that you never saw? The fact is today that it's so hard to differentiate between truth and lies. And this problem is not leaving us. It's going to become worse and worse with the AI and everything. And people, you know, people are very easy to be deceived, very easy to manipulate them. And it's terrible. It's terrible. Now, the Gazan people, they're not naive. They will not become peace lovers. It will take at least a generation or two. That's why they mentioned even President Trump in his 20 points he said about the changing the education books, which actually teach little children how to hate Jews and to kill Jews. It's about time that it should be done, but it will take generations. The people in Israel who most believed in a coexistence with the people of Gaza were the people who lived next to Gaza. These were the people who took the people from Gaza to hospitals in Israel, who tried to transfer food and aid, and these are the people who were murdered on the 7th of October. And when you talk to them and you see them now, they say, never again. We'll have to live with them, but we can't believe in them anymore. And that's life.
The hard reality is why Lebanon doesn't want them, Jordan doesn't want them, Syria doesn't want them, the UAE doesn't want them, Egypt doesn't want them, Saudi Arabia doesn't want them, right? I mean,
the country which had a great deal of them is Jordan, and they don't know what to do with them. The Palestinians there are a huge threat to the Kingdom of Jordan. They really don't know what to do with them. They tried once to take over, and Israel saved them in 1970. They saved the King of Jordan. And we talked about it once, and I said, you know, it's the Palestinians are a nation which are used to living in someone else's expense. They don't make a living. They don't rise and try to build their own economy. It's very sad to say that, but it's a fact. And when they got a lot of money, they build tunnels instead of buildings and schools. So what can we do?
Well, let us hope that Hamas agrees. But I'm not sure that yes, but is going to work. It seems to me that the president and Bibi Netanyahu spoke very clearly yesterday. You accept the 20 provisions of this deal, or there's no deal. And they put a very short time frame, and the clock's running already, right? It says here, item 4, within 72 hours of Israel publicly accepting this agreement, all hostages alive and deceased will be returned. That clock's running right now, because yesterday Israel accepted this agreement.
We hope so. The only ones who can put, further than Trump or Witkoff, did something very clever. When they recruited all the Arab nations 2 days before that, and when they got the agreement of Qatar and Turkey and Indonesia and all these countries and Saudi Arabia, so basically now, if these countries put the pressure on Hamas, especially Qatar, if Qatar tells Hamas, you know, if you don't sign it, we're going to kick you out of Qatar, and Turkey will do the same, they will sign. But if they won't put the pressure on them, then it will be really challenging. We'll, we'll see. We all hope they will sign, and we'll have our fingers crossed. But who knows? Who knows? We hope so. Again, for us, the most important thing is the hostages.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are very thankful, Colonel, that you have made it through, you and your family. We think about you often. You're in my prayers all the time. You know, and hopefully we will pray over the coming hours that Hamas agrees to this deal.
And we hope
so. So that a lot of lives are saved and families in Israel can attempt to put their lives back together, and the Palestinians can do the same.
And we hope so. You know, we hope so.
I got all my fingers and toes crossed, and hopefully prayers will be answered. I don't know what else to do.
You know? Well, that's significant.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely, Colonel. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. We totally appreciate your time.
And stay
safe, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Bye bye.
Colonel Alex Gann, retired colonel and fighter pilot for the Israeli Air Force, living in northern Israel. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we return, we'll visit with Teresa Campbell, founder and CEO of Safer Schools Together. She was the featured speaker at the 2025 Global Security Exchange. They're in town right now. 15,000 folks, security professionals. She spoke about game changer. Risk is everywhere. We'll talk about that when we return. Stay with us.